When the Lamb, chapter 8, broke the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That silence had to do with a break in the judgment. You see movies where the things get quiet and then something happens. Well, this is a break before the next unleashing of judgment. So we went through that. And so he went through the different angels in chapter 8. Since we went through that, we will go on to chapter 9. Then I looked, and I heard an angel flying in mid-heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels that were about to sound." So he gives a threefold woe. Translation, you think that was bad. What we just went through in chapter 8, he says, you think that was bad? Woe. Woe, woe. In other words, this is getting ready to get worse. And you'll understand why, because I know all this seems chaotic and mean and all of that, but stay with me here. He says, he comes to chapter 9. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven which had fallen to the earth, and the key of the bottomless pit was given to him. So the star is a him. So by the star, he's referring to Satan. Remember Satan's original name, Lucifer, the shining one? So that was his original name. Something is given to him, and what is given to him is the key. The word key, when it's used this way, when you're given a key to something, that means you're given access to something. A key gives you access to your car, your house, your office, what have you. He's given key to the bottomless pit that was given to him. So Satan has been given a key. Now, the thing I want you to remember about this is Satan only has as much authority as God gives him. So while the devil is bad, he's still God's devil. He can only operate under allowed authority. And God will allow Satan to have authority in the realm in which he operates. And he operates in the realm of evil. Since he operates in the realm of evil based on the program and plan of God, because we're now in the tribulation and we're getting quickly toward the first 3.5 years. We're coming into the first 3.5 years. Satan is going to be given a key to unlock the bottomless pit. In Luke chapter 8, verse 31, the pit is defined as the abode of demons. So when we talk about the pit, we're talking about where demons live. He's been given the key because the scripture has told us a certain amount of the angels that rebelled against God and joined Lucifer were locked up in the pit. So now Satan has been given the key to unlock that pit. He opened, verse 2, the bottomless pit. And smoke went out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by the smoke of the pit. So the sun, the daylight, has been darkened. It's getting dusk and almost night in the middle of the day because of all this smoke that's coming out of this bottomless pit. So the whole lighting structure has been affected by this. Now, then out of the smoke came locusts upon the earth, and power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. Locusts that have scorpion power. Why are they being let loose? Verse 4, they were told not to hurt the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only the men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. All right? So there's a lot going on here. We have some unusual scorpions here. They're going to get even more unusual as we go along here. Or usual locusts. Every 17 years in the city that I'm from, Baltimore, and in the state of Maryland, there is a cicada infestation, which are locusts. They germinate underneath the ground and live there for 17 years. But about every 17 years, I went to Baltimore to see my father a couple of years ago. I got out of the plane, walked down the baggage claim, and these locusts are flying all over the place. They are flying, people screaming, you know, ladies and men running, because they are there by the mega millions. I mean, it's millions of them. You walked outside and there was one taxi almost totally covered by them. Now, they only live, that once they leave underground and they come up, they only live for 5 months. They create havoc. Now, where they live, now they're flying all over the place, so people got to get the windshields, they got to be going and all that, because they'll cover the windshield so you'll have a car accident. So they're going through all of this all over the place, and they scare people, but what they eat is grass and tree, and that's what they eat, and they're there to mate, and the ones who mated, they go under and, you know, have their babies for the next 17 years. So you can imagine how they're proliferating underneath the ground once they come up when they're there that long. So, but they only mess with, other than being scared because they're flying all over the place, they only mess with the green stuff, the grass and the trees and all that. Well, this is a different kind of locust, because these locusts have the tails of scorpions, and they are told, they're instructed, don't mess with the grass, you know, don't mess with the green stuff, don't mess with any tree. You are specifically for those who do not have the seal. Now, who are those who have had the seal? These are those, remember, the 144,000 were sealed. These were Jewish evangelists who are sharing the gospel during the tribulation period. So the sealed ones are those who respond to the gospel, or as you and I would say today, those who get saved. They have a divine seal of protection. So they are not going to be stung or invaded by the scorpions. Remember, the scorpions come from the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit is the place of demons. So they're coming, the demons are coming out like scorpions. And they are instructed to leave the believers alone, those who are sealed or under divine protection. And they invade, and of course, as I told you before, this is where Hollywood gets a lot of its ideas from the book of Revelation when it comes to the sci-fi stuff that they do. They get this. And look how bad it gets. Verse 5, and they were not permitted to kill anyone. You say, well, that's good. Not quite. But to torment for 5 months. And this is great, because remember, locusts stay out and live for 5 months. So they're still carrying God's same time cycle back in the book of Revelations. It's still the same time cycle, but they're doing something different. They're attacking people. And their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it stings a man. And in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, and death flees from them. It's bad to want to die and not be able to die. So the sting, however they do it, will provide great misery that will not bring death. So that's elongated suffering. The appearance of the locusts, interesting characterization of these demons, was like horses prepared for battle. In other words, if you hear the cicadas or the locusts when they come out, the sound is deafening, because there are millions of them all making the same sound at the same time. So it's a deafening sound when you're around this. And of course, all throughout the Old Testament, locusts were used for judgment. So they would take the crops and all of that. Well, in this case, it says they're like horses. So they're like a whole herd of horses running. It says that on their heads appeared to be crowns like gold. So these locusts are carrying authority with them, authority from hell. And their faces were like the faces of men. There's some strange looking dudes. Their faces like the face of men. They're moving like horses, it says. And they had hair like the hair of a woman. Face of a man, hair like a woman, and their teeth was like the teeth of lions. So you can imagine being bit by this demonic creation from hell. They are let loose, which I'm glad they locked up right now. Because they have to be let loose by Satan, but Satan can't let them loose unless given the key to do so. They had breastplates, chests over their chest, of iron. So they can hurt you, but you can't hurt them. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots and of many horses rushing to battle. And I've already explained that sound. So this is a devastating infestation from hell. A devastating infestation from hell. They have tails like scorpions and stings. And in their tails is the power to hurt men for 5 months. They have as a king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew, Abaddon. In the Greek, his name is Apollyon. In other words, that's the name for Satan. He's their king. He's been given the key. And he is running the show. Now, he's running the show that God allowed. Because the devil can only do what he's given permission to do. So the question is, under what conditions are such permissions given? So there's a great theological truth I'll end with here when we finish this. So they are let loose. The first woe is past. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Now, that seems like enough for me. But he says, no, there are two more woes coming. Then the sixth angel, verse 13, sounded. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the Lord, one saying to the sixth angel who has the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released. In other words, they were set up for the right time to be let go so that they would kill a third of mankind. And now, a third of mankind dying at the same time, when we've already seen earlier in chapter 6, a fourth of mankind dying. So by the time you get to 3.5 years in the tribulation, half of the world has died. In 3.5 years, half of the world has died. And so, the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them, which probably refers to these demons. So you got 200 million demons that have been set loose on the earth. And this is how I saw the vision, the horses and those who sat on them. The riders had breastplates the color of fire and hyacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses are like the heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceed fire and smoke and brimstone. It's a deafening sight. A third of mankind was killed by the three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. And for the power of the horses in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they do harm. Now, why would God allow something so horrific? That's a fair question, because this is horrific. There's no other way to explain half the world being slain. Verse 20. The rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands so as not to worship demons and the idols of gold and silver and of brass and of stone and of wood which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders nor of their sorcerers nor of their immorality nor of their thefts. Now, you would have thought. You would have thought that after all of this, I'm sorry. I apologize. I confess in sackcloth and ashes. I'm prostrate. Have mercy on me. You would think with all of this going on, men would be running to God. While all this is going on, they're getting harder. They're worshiping demons, it says, and the demons are killing them. So you're dealing with a world that has become so anti-God that mercy hasn't changed them and wrath hasn't changed them. They've rejected the witness, even though they've seen what's going on, because the witness is, you'll see, is, I mean, this is going to be worldwide news. No corner of the globe is missing this. And so God has allowed technology to advance to such a place where now, I mean, I have been to some of the most remote villages in the world, little huts, and they got a TV. Poor as can be. Because now it's just been made so accessible. So technology, whether it's a phone or an iPad or whatever, has so, with satellites, has so made worldwide knowledge of anything going on anywhere. It's in a split second, you can get that information. So the mankind seeing devastation like this are saying, I'm not going to respond to God. Now, you are getting bits and pieces of that today. You're getting, depending on where you are, you're getting bits and pieces of the hardness of men's heart in the rejection of God. And it used to be, if you were atheist, you kind of whispered it. But now, it's become bold. It's the anti-God movement in America even today. The removal of the God of the Bible from every system, it has become horrific. And you're seeing that. You're seeing false gods become dominant. You're seeing, I mean, it's just, I can see the storm clouds. I can see the storm clouds. I'm not a date predictor, but I can see the storm clouds. And it says twice, they did not repent. The point being, they could have. Because if you did not, and you should have, then you could have. So we're dealing with a refusal to repent. Not, you know, a impossibility where you can't repent. So therefore, it is absolutely critical. That's why the Bible says, in the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't go hard against me. Because you're setting yourself up for me to have to release something I don't want to release. But see, here's the problem. When you align with the devil, you get your wish. Now, think about that for a moment. When you align with the devil, God will give you. Let's put it another way. You can pray, thy will be done, or God can pray, your will be done. He'll give you what you want. Remember in the Old Testament, Israel was begging for meat. They were complaining about manna, begging for meat, complaining about manna. They just complaining, which is, by the way, which is why the Bible says so much about complaining. Neither were they thankful, Romans 1 says. I mean, we have children like that, right? Not grateful for anything. You buy them 90% of what they want. They want to talk about the 10% they didn't get. Not great. So they complain, and God said, okay. You're complaining you don't have meat. I'm going to give you meat. And more meat. And more meat. And more meat. And more meat. And he rained down meat, meat on top of meat, on top of meat, on top of meat. And it was so much meat that it was decaying. and it began to stink. It says, and yet they got meat and they had leanness in their souls. So you can get a lot of stuff you want without God. You can get a lot of stuff without God. You can get money without God, power without God, popularity without God, notoriety without God. You can get all you want without God and be starving in your soul. Some of us know what that feels like. So that is the problem. That is the issue. Let me just introduce chapter 10. I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud, and the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. So we got a majestic angel now coming down from heaven, and he had in his hand a little book, which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice as when a lion roars. And when he had cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. So you've got this roaring in nature. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. I don't want them revealed yet. Then the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his right hand and swore by him and who lives forever and ever, and who created heaven and the things in it, the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. I didn't think there had been a delay. But in other words, there's more coming. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery of God is finished. And he preached to his servants, the prophets. So here's what's happening. You are now coming into, you're closing in on the end of the tribulation. We're not going to wait any longer. Any longer for what? For the coming of Jesus Christ. We're not going to wait any longer. So we're now rushing. Now, the question you may want to ask is, well, wait a minute, but we're only in chapter 10. So but if Jesus comes, what else is there to write about other than heaven? No, what he's going to do is with a lot of movies and TV shows, he's going to start over again and take you back. When we get to the next chapter, he's going to take you back. But this time when he takes you back, instead of dealing with events, he's going to deal with personalities. So that's when you're going to find out about the Antichrist and the false prophet. You're going to find, so he's going to roll it forward, then he's going to roll it back and show you the people that he talked about in the events that he's just gone through. So the book is divided between events and personalities. And see, so that's what's going to happen. But he said, I heard the voice. So in chapter 11, you're going to find out about the two witnesses. So as you can see, the tribulation is no joke. Now, God knew folk weren't going to like this book. Folk weren't going like this book. And that's why he says at the end of the book, there's a curse on anybody who messes with anything written in it. Because as bad as the book is, you need to know what you are graced out of. And you need to be inspired to be a witness for Jesus Christ.